The Portfolio Doctors on KCBQ is sponsored by Mr. Credit San Diego.
Next on KCBQ, stay tuned for the Portfolio Doctors, Dan Osgood and Stephen Vick, investment advisor representatives for their respective investment firms, ACAS LLC and Cottingham Management Company LLC. The opinions expressed on the Portfolio Doctors are their own and do not reflect those of ACAS LLC, Cottingham Management Company LLC, or this radio station. The following information is for educational purposes only. ACAS LLC and Cottingham Management Company LLC are not law or accounting firms, and no portion of this presentation should be interpreted as legal, accounting, or tax advice. Welcome to the Portfolio Doctors on News Talk AM 1170 KCBQ. Your financial future depends on making sound investment decisions. Make sure you get accurate information and a weekly checkup from a source you trust. The Portfolio Doctors will see you now. Live in studio, here are Dan Osgood and Steve Bick. The Portfolio Doctors.
Good afternoon. Welcome to another edition of The Portfolio Doctors, where we bring you, still not quite there, I don't think, 50 years almost of experience.
30 days to go.
we think. I have to go back and look at the record and find out when I was officially first stepped foot in this industry. Probably with my training, we're probably there now.
Right.
I'm comfortable saying that.
All right.
So we're bringing you 50-plus years of experience in the financial services industry, the financial markets. Myself doing financial planning-related business. Steve doing all varieties of trading.
That's right.
Trading, salvaging companies, saving companies, sending companies to their grave.
That's right, exactly. Liquidating them. Yeah. And together we're the Portfolio Doctors.
That's right. And as I said, my name is Dan Osgood.
I'm Steve Bick.
And main purpose of our show, and we're going to continue today, I think we've got some great information that we've kind of scheduled that I think it's liable to spill over into a second or third show.
Probably.
We'll see how it goes today, but yeah. I think it's enough information where it's very good info that we'd like to share. Our main goal here is to help you understand the decisions you make impact yourself and that you are going to make the best decisions for yourself better than anyone else. So if you can arm yourself with the best information, it's going to be a lot easier to make those good decisions for just about any financial decision you make, whether it's for retirement, a home purchase, anything in between, and just an investment in a simple stock or a mutual fund or anything of that such. We are here as a resource. If you have a question, to reach out, get in touch with us, and we'll give you a totally unbiased opinion. We have nothing to gain by pointing you in the right direction, other than the satisfaction that we're helping people achieve their goals.
Correct.
So, very quickly, we touched on this last week because there was one very brief day of trading, but there's this company that's apparently fairly large, Alibaba.
Right, Chinese company.
Big Chinese company that, as far as revenues go, is larger than eBay and Amazon combined. Is that
revenues or market cap?
Well, both now. I don't know where the market cap, because the official numbers were they raised $25 billion, which makes it the largest IPO ever.
Yeah.
And after the pricing of the first day, they were at like $250 plus billion in market cap.
Yeah.
So I don't know where I think Amazon's larger than that, but it's definitely bigger than the likes of a Yahoo and eBay.
Yeah.
Which makes them pretty significant and pretty substantial business there.
And they're Chinese.
Yes.
So it just shows the emergence of China.
Right.
There we are. The largest IPO ever is now a Chinese company.
Well, it wasn't the previous largest, the Chinese bank.
It wasn't a U.S. listed. I don't think they did the listing in the U.S.
Right. So this is just the largest IPO ever in any market.
Right.
Okay.
So, I think the ascendancy is happening right in front of our eyes.
Yes. I think it's still going to be quite a long process,
yes.
But I know there's a lot of people fearing that there's rumors of the dollar being replaced as the reserve currency of the world.
That's not gonna happen anytime soon.
This is maybe a baby step for China to try to start getting in a position, but we're looking at many years before something like that could ever take place.
Well, you can't have a replacement of an international currency like the dollar without a massive bond market. And the reason you need a massive bond market is because that's where you issue all of the currency through, right? You sell bonds, treasuries, and things like that, and that's where the currency gets created, through the bond sales. China's bond market is minuscule.
Right.
The U.S. bond market.
Earlier this year, they had their first released internationally.
Correct. And I don't even think it was more than $10 billion or $30 billion.
Was it even that high?
I thought it was maybe
a few hundred million.
Yeah. It's and we've got tens of trillions out there. So, I mean, they're just so many light years behind. Not that they can't catch up, but and they probably will over time, but certainly the thought of the China's currency replacing the U.S. dollars, not anytime soon.
No.
This can't happen because there's just not enough currency to go around the world.
Right.
Whereas the U.S. has been flooding the market full of dollars for decades. Right. We're good at borrowing money.
Yes.
Yeah. Well,
we got a little bit sidetracked on kind of the point we were getting at with Alibaba and the pricing of it.
Right.
The IPO price was $68 a share.
Yep.
The very first transaction was over $90 a share.
Yep.
So if you wanted to buy it, unless you knew the right person and you got the IPO shares and you put an order in to just buy it as soon as it started trading, you own Alibaba in the 90s.
Correct. So you're underwater, roughly.
Right.
You probably break even or just below water.
Right.
It
just shows what goes on. There was so much hype around it. I guarantee there were a lot of people that said, oh, I can't miss out on this. And they put a market order in figuring, okay, it's going to start trading at 68. I'll get it somewhere between 68 and 70 or even 75 or less, and then it'll keep going up and I'll sell it. And if you put a market order in, you got filled at 92, 93, 95. It went straight up to almost 100. It was 99.7 at the highest. And so there's a chance you got filled at that. And then it backed off the rest of that day and has shown a trend heading downward.
Well, the other thing is, and I know this week's been one of the more volatile weeks that we've had in a while, but my feeling all along was if to understand what goes on in an IPO, particularly of this magnitude, the underwriters who at this stage were the large banks, you had Goldman Sachs and, I mean, pretty much everyone did some portion of the underwriting. Their reputation's now on the line because what they've got to do is not only do they have to sell the stock at $68, they've also got to support the stock, right? And the way that you do that is you have a nice frothy upward trending market. Well, before the IPO came out, it really looked like the market was ready to roll over and die. And surprise, surprise, just right the week before the IPO, they managed to sort of push and prop up the market enough to...
back to all-time highs again.
Yeah, and it was going to be this Cinderella-type rally that Alibaba was then going to take the helm and just charge forward. And, you know, but as we've seen over the last few days of this week or certain days of this week, there have been some big pullbacks.
Right.
And I think that you've lost that support of those banks and people are finally now able to, you know, they're offloading and there's not that support sticking around. Plus, of course, we've got the Federal Reserve saying that they're no longer going to support the market.
Right.
So, I mean, it really is looking pretty dicey out there right now. I mean, in a very short-term outlook.
Right, and that's not even taking into account so many global issues.
Right.
Ukraine, Syria. We started bombing Syria.
Isn't Ukraine fixed? I mean, you know, seriously.
I think Putin's out wrestling sharks or alligators or something now.
Well, that's probably why it's fixed. And then and Spain's fixed. Italy's fixed as well.
So
Portugal, you know, Greece, back to selling olive
oil.
We're
economic issues. We're talking about all these big global matters, bombings, wars. There's unrest scattered throughout the globe right now.
Yeah. And the markets don't like that type of thing, other than it seems like the U.S. market, which just keeps trudging north.
Right. It seems like as the headlines get filled with that information, we see a temporary drop in the market that's not even a real significant drop, and people start to get a little concerned, and then all of a sudden, here it goes again, and it's back
hitting
all-time highs a week later.
Yeah. And I've been looking at Japan recently, you know, and Japan has got the situation where they've borrowed billions or trillions of dollars, right? But their interest rates are next to nothing.
Well, that sounds familiar.
Yeah, they've depreciated their currency in the hopes of stimulating exports, which hasn't happened. And with interest rates around zero, it's already eating up 25%. The interest payments are eating up 25% of their total revenues or their budget for the year, right?
Okay.
If interest rates start popping up a little bit higher, they're basically bankrupt or insolvent.
Japanese interest rates.
Yeah, Japanese interest, and they're next to nothing. They've been zero for 20, 30 years.
Right.
If they just pop up to 1.5%, 2%, I mean, the government's...
Which is still ridiculously low.
Yeah, they can't pay the debt.
Right. Well, it's not that far of a reach saying the same thing's going on.
Well, that's
here.
What it, I was it, really it, pointing
right.
at.
Right, if interest rates were to spike here, suddenly our government's going to have to be printing a lot more money than they print now.
Yeah, you take $20 trillion or whatever we owe, and we're paying it off at, call it 2%, that's $800 billion, and it goes to, let's say, 5%, you know, there's pretty much all of your cash receipts.
Right. So who knows? And that's one of the reasons we're discussing this is there's all these events going on. You need to be mindful of them in your decision making, but at the same time understand these are things you don't control.
No, that's why I'm so excited for October 15th to go and rush off my next tax payment.
Try to help support the system.
Yeah, oh, that isn't, doesn't that feel good?
I look forward to that.
Yeah,
it's wonderful. Well, if as we're talking about this, something strikes a concern in what you're doing, or if you don't have a specific plan in place, but you have investments kind of scattered around, we are here as a resource. Feel free to reach out to us. You can email the show, dan@theportfoliodoctors.com or steve@theportfoliodoctors.com. You can also access the website directly, theportfoliodoctors.com. We have old shows. If this is your first time tuning in, you're liking what you're hearing, we're available on iTunes. We have lots of podcasts there from past shows. We feel there's a lot of good, useful information that we have archived there. And we want to just try to help as many people as we can. So stick around. When we come back, we will discuss market returns and how this ultimately affects decisions that are made by investors. We'll be right back.
Intelligent Talk, 1170 KCBQ.
Business owners, are you tired of using multiple software solutions to run your business? Are you sick of the constant updates and having to pay your IT staff or a third-party company to manage your software systems? If you can answer yes to any of these questions, then you need Lead Commerce. Lead Commerce is a cloud-based software system that runs your entire business, from your website to e-commerce to inventory, purchasing, and order management. Lead Commerce does it all. For a free 15-day trial of Lead Commerce, log on to leadcommerce.com. That's www.leadcommerce.com. Start your free trial today. You'll be glad you did.
Remember those warm, sun-filled days relaxing on the beach in Hawaii? Can't wait to go again? Well, now you can have a taste of Hawaii delivered to your door by going online and ordering some melt-in-your-mouth deliciousness from HawaiiFudge.com. What better way to shake off the stresses of the world than biting into a smooth, creamy chocolate macadamia nut sensation? Or how about our Kona Coffee Lava Flow? Just go to HawaiiFudge.com and place your order online today. That's HawaiiFudge.com.
Intelligent Talk, 1170 KCBQ.
Welcome back. It is The Portfolio Doctors. My name is Dan Osgood.
And I'm Steve Bick.
And we are today discussing, we're heading towards a discussion about the different events that cause people, and investors especially, which typically are people. There are institutions that don't qualify as people, I guess, but...
Well, they have people working there.
Correct.
Yeah.
But it's generally the everyday, ordinary, everyday investor that these types of events impact more than your institutional investor, because the institutions just have a computer basically model running their portfolios anymore.
Well, here's the difference. Okay, let's assume you're an institution and you're a portfolio manager, right? And let's say you're trading $10 million and you have a really bad year and you lose 30%, right? Your pay's gone from $1 million a year, let's say, to $700,000 a year. It hasn't really made a huge amount of difference into your to your existence, has it? If you're the person that had given that guy, let's say you of that $10 million, you'd given him $500,000, and suddenly the $500,000 is now $350,000 because of his poor returns. That's going to have a huge impact on your existence,
right?
And so that's why the person in the street cares much more,
right,
than the person who's running the money more often than
right.
not.
And that those are the people that will tend to have a reaction to different events that, in many cases, turn out to be non-events.
Correct.
But they either get so blown out of proportion or there's so much attention paid to the different event, regardless of what it is, whether it's interest rates possibly going up or going down, the Fed putting more money into the system or cutting back, bombing going on around the world. All of these are things that can impact, but the reality is they tend to be very short-term events to financial markets.
Well, certainly. I mean, you know, and it's not necessarily when you have the up days. It's always the down days.
Right.
You know, like on Wednesday of this week, we had a pretty decent down day. And, you know, I'm sure that alerted a lot of people to the vagaries of the market and also scared a lot of people. It's like, is this the beginning of the end?
Wait, you're thinking of Thursday.
Oh, Thursday. That's
Wednesday
right.
was an up day.
No. That's right. Wednesday. Sorry. Wrong day. But Thursday was a pretty scary down day. I mean, is it the beginning of the end? No one knows. But if you switched on the TV on Thursday evening, you would have, you know, got a world of information about why it is the beginning of the end. So you need to just realize that a lot of it is just trying to sell advertising space on the television show rather than anyone who has any clue as to what really went on.
Right. And that's the reality. A lot of these people that are putting this information out there, they're journalists.
Of course.
They are not financial experts. So they are coming up with an opinion based on some idle chit-chat and creating a sensationalized story for you to, unfortunately, make a decision based off
of. But Thursday in particular, that's a great example because there really nothing did happen. Nothing happened, okay? As I was alluding to earlier, let's assume on Thursday, rather than nothing happening, the market had tanked by a few thousand points because Japan had actually defaulted on their debt, okay?
Right.
That's a massive, significant international event. That day, you could easily say, I know why the market went down. But on a day like Thursday, yes, it hurt a little bit, but there was no reason for it to have gone down. It could have gone up just as easily as
right.
it went down. So to listen and get all caught up on your television set and listen to all of these, you know, the squawk box people, and, you know, they're just going to basically throw out a bunch of hot air for the next however long they're on the show for and scare the bejeebers out of everybody. And that might make you produce something the next day that you more than likely shouldn't have done if you just switched it off and hadn't listened.
Right. And in many cases, when they do have someone that I suppose you could qualify as an expert who maybe is a money manager or an economist of some type, many times they have some hidden agenda behind what they're talking about. Maybe they own, and yes, they disclose it, but I don't think anyone tends to pay attention if it says on the bottom, Bob Jones owns Apple.
Right.
As he's talking about Apple and saying, oh, we see growth prospects just going through the moon over the next 5 years, so we think this is a great buying opportunity. Of course they're saying that because they own it.
It's called talking your book.
Yes.
Yeah, exactly. You know, whatever you own in your
book. You need to understand that hidden agenda can negatively impact you because that agenda has nothing to do with what you want to accomplish.
Yeah. No, I agree with that. And, talking your book, the reason that where that came from is in the good old days, you'd write in the little book what positions you owned, right? And that was where the saying came from. You know, you've got your book filled up with all your little stock quotes and things like that and what you own, and you talk up the shares that are in there.
Right.
Of course, people don't have books on that anymore. You've got it all in the computer, but the name has stuck.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Well, right now, we're going to run quickly to the Mortgage Minute.
Oh, yes.
We have another special guest with us. We have a Donald E. Coleman, the Director of Real Estate with USE Credit Union. Donald, how are you today?
I am doing outstanding. How are you?
Very good. Very good. You represent a credit union, which is a little bit different. I don't know that there's tons of our listeners that probably realize that credit unions do mortgage loans, or if at least they've done a good job of staying out of the media. So that's good news. Can you give us an idea of some of the advantages to using a credit union? I know them, but it's better probably to hear coming straight from you why it makes sense for someone to go utilize a credit union for their mortgage needs.
Well, absolutely. The first thing is when you're dealing with a credit union, we're a not-for-profit organization and member-owned. So the first thing is we offer, in both cases, we offer better pricing and lower fees to any of our members or anyone that actually does a loan with the credit union. That's one of the biggest differences there. And kind of the difference of doing a loan with USE Credit Union as compared to most other lenders in the market, we offer three distinctive guarantees that we show up in the market with. Number one is we offer a same-day loan decision. So if you apply for a loan and give us enough information to complete a 1003 application by 3 o'clock, say Monday through Friday, we guarantee you that you'll get a decision before close of business that day, or you're going to get paid $250.
So the same day. So if I came in
$259
this afternoon and was able to say at 2:30 and was able to get all the paperwork filled out and hand it to you by $259, then you're saying by the end of the day I would have an answer as to whether or not I was approved?
Yes, sir.
Wow.
Guaranteed.
Hey, Donald, it's Steve Beck here. I have a question for you. And don't you have to be a member of the credit union to qualify for a loan?
No, you do not. And that's one of the differences is we're a state-chartered credit union. So if you live, work, or worship in San Diego County, you are open for membership. So we don't require you to become a member before applying for a loan. So what will happen is once you fund that loan with us, your membership will be open during that process. So we're one of the credit unions that don't require you to actually become a member before applying.
Okay, got it. And then, I mean, credit unions, as you say, they're nonprofit, but they rely on the returns get sent back to the actual members, which is why you guys can keep the note rates down, right?
That is correct. I mean, that's part of the whole credit union philosophy is we turn our earnings back over to our members. So we do it in a form of lower rates on autos, mortgages, and products, and then we offer higher rates on deposits.
And what about the down payment? Are there any good terms in with that, or is it the normal 10 or 15% or 20% requirement?
Well, actually, there are a number of different products that are available. I mean, we have programs right now that are as low as 5% down. I personally am actually working on an FHA alternative loan that we're going to hold as a portfolio loan in-house to help first-time homebuyers that will have a minimum of a 3% down payment. That program is probably going to be launched somewhere in November that we're going to have ready to go for people to help homebuyers in San Diego County.
Well, you see, that's an important piece of information. So what you're saying is constantly, if you're looking for a loan, you need to basically keep in touch with the various experts in the field because things change all the time, don't they? There's programs offered and then taken away and then offered again later.
Oh, absolutely. You say that again one more time. It changes every day.
Yeah, yeah. So that's the flavor of the month right now is about a 3% down, is it?
That's correct, and that program should be live in October. So it's a unique portfolio product that we actually offer.
Okay, so people looking to get a loan, I mean, they can give you a call and line themselves up for this coming out in October. That's a great bit of information for everyone.
Mm-hmm.
So what give out his details there.
Sure. Best number, your office number?
Sure, that would be fine, yeah.
Okay. If you want to get in touch with Donald, his best number is his office number, 858-795-6155. Once again, that's 858-795-6155. Or if you don't have something handy, you could email either Steve or I at the show here, and we will put you directly in contact with Donald. It's great ability to find solutions for people. And to be honest, I prefer the credit union experience over any big bank 100% of the time.
Yeah, no doubt. It's a lot more personable.
Yes.
Yeah.
Any other important tidbits you think we can leave now?
Oh, absolutely. We're loaded over here. Okay. That's our market. And it's the second product that we offer. We offer a best price guarantee, so we kind of put our money where our mouth is. And we guarantee that we'll beat any lender's pricing, rate, and fee structure by at least $100. That's rate and then fees by $100. Or that borrower is going to get paid $750. And what's required is we just ask for a GFE that the same day in which the time that they're actually shopping with us, a GFE, and we guarantee that we'll beat that price. If we can't, we just require them to close the loan with the other lender and provide us with a copy of the HUD-1 and the notes, and then we write them a check for $750.
Hmm. There you go.
Sounds like you can't really lose in that deal.
No. And what about qualifying? Is it relatively easy in terms of income and that to qualify? It's on par with everything else, I would imagine.
Oh, absolutely. We underwrite our loans to the secondary market standards, the same as everyone else. And again, some of the benefits of that, because we can portfolio loans where the ability to repay limits may be at 43%, depending on the structure of the loan, we may have the ability to go above that. That's one of the beauties of a portfolioed loan, where we can do what is called that non-qualified mortgage, because we invest back into our members. That's the benefit right there.
Right. Now, that is a big benefit.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And once again, this is Donald Coleman we're speaking with, who is the Director of Real Estate at USE Credit Union. If you want to reach him, you can call him directly, 858-795-6155. Or again, you can email the show here, dan@theportfoliodoctors.com or steve@theportfoliodoctors.com, and we will put you directly in contact with Donald. Donald, thank you very much. That's great, great information you're sharing with our listeners. We appreciate it.
All right. Thank you, guys. Have a great day.
You too.
Thanks a lot.
Intelligent Talk, 1170 KCBQ.
According to the U.S. Census Bureau, over 90 million people in the U.S. own mutual funds. Now, I wonder how many of those people have read all the fine print associated with those investments. The good news is, you don't have to figure it out on your own. Let me introduce you to Dan Osgood. Dan is a certified financial planner and actually a friend. Through his website, freeinvestmentaudit.com, he will do a free risk and cost analysis for any investment portfolio you have. This free analysis will find all the hidden fees and uncover the missing money from your investments. Most people don't think they're paying any fees at all, but trust me, you definitely are. The question is, how much in fees are you paying for the investments you have? If you have a retirement account or a bond portfolio of any kind, go to freeinvestmentaudit.com right now and get your free analysis. You deserve to know what your investments are really costing you. Freeinvestmentaudit.com. That's freeinvestmentaudit.com. That's freeinvestmentaudit.com.
Remember those warm, sun-filled days relaxing on the beach in Hawaii? Can't wait to go again? Well, now you can have a taste of Hawaii delivered to your door by going online and ordering some melt-in-your-mouth deliciousness from HawaiiFudge.com. What better way to shake off the stresses of the world than biting into a smooth, creamy chocolate macadamia nut sensation? Or how about our Kona Coffee Lava Flow? Just go to HawaiiFudge.com and place your order online today. That's HawaiiFudge.com.
Business owners, are you tired of using multiple software solutions to run your business? Are you sick of the constant updates and having to pay your IT staff or a third-party company to manage your software systems? If you can answer yes to any of these questions, then you need Lead Commerce. Lead Commerce is a cloud-based software system that runs your entire business, from your website to e-commerce to inventory, purchasing, and order management. Lead Commerce does it all. For a free 15-day trial of Lead Commerce, log on to leadcommerce.com. That's www.leadcommerce.com. Start your free trial today. You'll be glad you did.
Intelligent Talk, 1170 KCBQ.
Welcome back. It is the Portfolio Doctors Radio Show. My name is Dan Osgood.
And I'm Steve Bick.
And today, again, we're kind of slowly getting to the point here, but the last segment we did kind of really start explaining what we want to talk about. And that really is the psychology behind investing in choosing investments and trying to not allow these outside forces, which I'm hearing it more and more now in all the publications, is the noise.
Yeah.
And how to factor in the noise. And the reality is, it's all noise.
Well, I've got two great examples of that I personally went through. And the first was when I was a little bit green in this industry, and I had a decent-sized portfolio, and I had it invested. And at the time, I then put a backpack on my back, and I went through Southeast Asia where, you know, all TVs were in Vietnamese or Chinese or some weird language. So I didn't bother to watch TV. I was just backpacking for 6 months. And it happened to be right through 97, right? And so when I left, I looked at my portfolio and the value was, you know, let's just say $500,000, right? And when I came out of Thailand, I looked at my portfolio and it was $550,000. So I was up 50 grand. I'm like, okay, cool. And I got to London and a friend of mine said, yeah, so how did you handle the crash? I go, what crash? I didn't even know there was a crash in 97 because I had no television or newspaper or nothing. But the ending value was higher than the beginning value. So I just held right through it and woohoo, I was ahead. And a lot of people dumped their positions during that and got stung.
Well,
right?
We've seen that it wasn't that long ago, back in 08 into early 09.
Right.
There were plenty of people February and March of 09 saying, I've had enough. I can't stand this anymore. That gets forgotten. The market was down 28% for the year in March.
No, I know.
Not even 3 months into the year that was already down 28%. And you almost at that point can't blame someone for saying, can't do it anymore. It looks like this is over. It looks like the financial markets are going away.
Yeah. Well, there are a lot of reasons why you also have to sell in that situation. Mm-hmm. Because if you're out on margin and you're getting squeezed, the people lending you the money to buy these shares want their money back, and your value of your position's getting lower and lower, and at some point they're just going to say, you have to sell because we want our money back.
Right.
And so, you know, there's certain cases. If you're not leveraged, that's where a lot of people suggest that you shouldn't ever go on margin, because if you are on margin, it really opens your portfolio up to a whole new dynamic. Because in cases of anxiety like that market, you can get forced out.
It's almost a forced knee-jerk reaction that you can't do anything about, where you have to act one way or the other because of how you're invested.
Yeah, it's like a house. You've got a loan against your house. Everything's great while things are going up and you can afford to make your loan payment. And the day you can't afford to make your loan payment is typically when the house prices are crashing down and you go and have a job. And so right in the worst possible market, you're forced to sell your house that you did have equity in, and now it's being taken back by the bank. It's the exact same thing that happens in the stock exchange.
Right. Which, I mean, that is what happened in the year and a half prior to the stock market meltdown.
Yeah, no, exactly right. And and then just to go back to my next situation was in 2000 when the market came crashing down, and this time I was actively trading, and I was trading a decent amount of money at the time, and I lived through every one of those painful days on the way down, and I fought, and I remember one of the things, you know, that happened, where you just can't believe that you can be wrong so often, right? And You end up sort of crunched up, leaning over, you know, huddled up in your chair, you know, and you really are just feeling that stress just take over your whole body. And it's not the rational way to think. But I was still a little bit green. I mean, yeah, I'd been in the industry 15, 16 years, but I'd never ridden through one of these types of things before.
Right.
And I ended up okay. It wasn't that big of a deal, but it was just very stressful. And so you just realize that the whole psychology of investing is a huge piece of this game.
And it absolutely, because it affects so many aspects of investing. Another example, I've seen this numerous times where people have an account and they have a strategy in place where maybe it's buy an individual stock today. If it goes up by 10%, sell it, take that profit and look for something else. If it goes down by a certain percent, sell it, cut your losses and move on to something else.
Yeah, that's trading.
And they do that and it goes up and they sell at 10% and the stock keeps going up.
Yeah.
And they forget that as soon as you sell it, you should stop paying attention to it.
Right.
And then they do it again and they buy a different stock and it goes up by 10%. They sell it. They put the money in their pocket and that stock continues going up. So the third time they look and go, okay, here we go. We get this stock goes up by 10%. And instead of selling, they say, well, it's going to keep going up like the other two did.
Yeah.
And then it immediately rolls over and drops so fast that not only do they lose that gain, they lose the previous two winners as well because right. they moved away from the strategy that they had employed. And that's why we talk about you need to have a plan in place for how you're going to do things and stick to that plan.
Yeah, no, exactly right. They've actually done a lot of studying on this. And a couple of the things that they've done is they've looked, for example, at certain of the chemical messengers in the brain. And, of course, one is the testosterone. And you know, men, of course, are riddled with that. Well, hopefully they are. But, and the thing with this is that when you are winning, okay, your testosterone level gets pumped up, right? So you're prepared to take ever greater risks because you're bulletproof.
Right.
That's why oftentimes on the upside, females actually perform a little bit, not as well as men do because they don't have so much testosterone pumping through their veins, so they're not pushing the accelerator so hard. But at least when the turnaround comes crashing down, they are better protected than the male traders are. But that's for testosterone. But then on the flip side, that oxytocin, which affects females more than males, because that's the bonding, right? A female to bond with a child.
Okay.
And so what they've done here is they've said, okay, so you're bonding, but they're more interested in the herd mentality. It's like, if everyone's doing it, then I'll do it because I can bond with them, right? Right? They're less likely to step outside. Now, of course, these are massive brushes that they're painting with.
Right.
But these are just psychological studies of what's going on just in male versus female, and let alone what's going on in terms of the market and your right. fears and anxieties. And
adding additional emotion of an individual position.
Correct. So, I mean, let's just talk about the herd mentality. And the herd mentality doesn't just affect women. It affects everybody.
Right.
I mean, your neighbor walks out of the door, and he goes, hey, I just got, you know, bought XYZ stock. And then you tell your friend, and he says, hey, that sounds pretty good. And he tells his friend, you're creating your own little herd, right?
Right.
And if six of the guys you tell start buying, I can guarantee you right now you're going to buy some. Because you can't be left out now.
Right, because the fear of missing out, even if you think it's the worst idea ever.
Correct. And then
you don't want to be left behind.
And now everything's, you're all in, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then it starts going over the falls and it starts crashing. And rather than making a rational decision at that point in time, you're so locked into the herd that now you're calling all your friends. Hey, did you get out? Should we get out? What should we do? Well, you're no longer thinking rationally anymore. You're right. trying to get a consensus out of the herd. Well, some guys will have already exited ages ago.
Right.
Some guys probably said they bought and didn't buy. You know, other people bought too much. Some didn't buy enough. I mean, you know, so everyone's doing their own thing. And the next thing you realize, the herd's fallen apart. You've got this dog and no one's helping you, right?
Right.
The herd mentality is one of the worst possible things you can do, is to get stuck with the herd. You've got to think rationally.
There are entire investment strategies that surround that.
Right.
And it is the mom and pop calling the tops and the bottoms
Correct.
Of the market.
Yep.
As soon as you see the herd starting to really flow all their money into the market, that generally, and it holds up pretty well, indicates a pretty accurate... We're somewhere near the top when you see almost everyone putting their money in the market.
Right.
And on the other side, when you see almost everyone saying, this market's going down, it's going down forever now, we have to get out, and everyone's starting talking about getting all their money out, that's pretty much always an indication that the bottom is just about here, and it's just about set to turn around and go back up sometime soon.
Yeah, no, you're exactly right. And that's why, and the quickest way to get rid of the herd mentality is just to switch off your TV, rip up your Wall Street Journal, and just do your own research.
Right.
You know, if you think it's a good buy, even if the herd is buying, then you can buy. That's fine. You've done a rational, but look yourself in the mirror and say, I did actually do my research. I'm not relying on the herd. Because once you pull that trigger and you've actually invested in that, taken the plunge and bought some of that stock, the onus is on you now to take responsibility of when to get out or when to sell or not to get out. So switch all that stuff off and do your own analysis.
Yeah, and that's
easier said than
yeah, exactly. That's the hard part. All these studies prove that this is not just something you have easy control to say, oh, okay, I won't do that, or I will do this. It's not that easy. We just want you to be aware. So if you come across a situation where your neighbors or a group of friends you run with are talking about, oh, we have to get into this, see if it fits with what you want to accomplish. And if it doesn't, that should be your deciding factor. It shouldn't just be, well, Bob down the street said this would be a good buy. Because what's Bob's expertise? What's his edge that he has that tells him this is what's happening?
And he's not going to be there to pick up the phone and say sell.
Right.
You won't hear from Bob then.
Jim Cramer, there it is, the clown on TV. Well, again, if anything we talk about concerns you or brings up something you want to talk about, we're here for you. Reach out to the show. You can reach me, Dan, at theportfoliodoctors.com or Steve at theportfoliodoctors.com. Well, stick around. When we come back, we will continue our discussion about the hows and whys decisions are made when it comes to investments.
Intelligent Talk, 1170 KCBQ.
Business owners, are you tired of using multiple software solutions to run your business? Are you sick of the constant updates and having to pay your IT staff or a third-party company to manage your software systems? If you can answer yes to any of these questions, then you need Lead Commerce. Lead Commerce is a cloud-based software system that runs your entire business, from your website to e-commerce to inventory, purchasing, and order management. Lead Commerce does it all. For a free 15-day trial of Lead Commerce, log on to leadcommerce.com. That's www.leadcommerce.com. Start your free trial today. You'll be glad you did.
Remember those warm, sun-filled days relaxing on the beach in Hawaii? Can't wait to go again? Well, now you can have a taste of Hawaii delivered to your door by going online and ordering some melt-in-your-mouth deliciousness from HawaiiFudge.com. What better way to shake off the stresses of the world than biting into a smooth, creamy chocolate macadamia nut sensation? Or how about our Kona Coffee Lava Flow? Just go to HawaiiFudge.com and place your order online today. That's HawaiiFudge.com.
According to the U.S. Census Bureau, over 90 million people in the U.S. own mutual funds. Now, I wonder how many of those people have read all the fine print associated with those investments. The good news is you don't have to figure it out on your own. Let me introduce you to Dan Osgood. Dan is a certified financial planner and actually a friend. Through his website, freeinvestmentaudit.com, he will do a free risk and cost analysis for any investment portfolio you have. This free analysis will find all the hidden fees and uncover the missing money from your investments. Most people don't think they're paying any fees at all, but trust me, you definitely are. The question is, how much in fees are you paying for the investments you have? If you have a retirement account or a bond portfolio of any kind, go to freeinvestmentaudit.com right now and get your free analysis. You deserve to know what your investments are really costing you. Freeinvestmentaudit.com. That's freeinvestmentaudit.com. That's freeinvestmentaudit.com.
Intelligent Talk, 1170 KCBQ.
Oh, welcome back. As we're heading down the home stretch here today, this is the Portfolio Doctors Radio Show. My name is Dan Osgood.
And I'm Steve Bick.
And we've been talking quite a bit about what causes people to make decisions, whether they be the right decision or the wrong decision. There is psychology behind it, and it's been proven in many, many pieces of research and studies.
Yeah, well, we were talking about the herd mentality, and another one that comes to mind is overconfidence. And we all get overconfident. I mean, there's a lot of people that seem to think they've found an edge or they know something that someone else does because they pick a few stocks here and there and they're right.
That goes back to the example I gave of sticking to your plan. You pick a stock that does well, you sell, but it goes higher. You pick another stock, you sell, after it goes up, it goes higher. Then you start thinking, well, I've got this figured out. This isn't that hard. You try another one, it's going up the same way. Say, oh, see, did it again.
Right.
But this one, I'm going to really have it go. And then the wheels fall off and now you've lost everything you've made over all the previous investments.
Yeah. I've got a great example as well. A guy I met, when I met him, he had $500,000, which wasn't bad, right? But he started with $1 million and he turned it into $100 million. Right up the 1990s all the way into 2000, right? Mm-hmm. And just buying every single internet stock known to man. And every single pullback, you just load up and buy more because you're so confident. I mean, you're going to be pretty confident if you've turned $1 million into $100 million.
Absolutely.
I mean, you are brimming with confidence.
Well, this one's also throwing another psychological aspect, which is greed.
Yeah. Yeah, well, you know what they say, right? The bulls make money and the bears make money and the pigs get slaughtered.
Yes.
So, so he was, I guess, getting greedy. I mean, how much more money do you need? $100 million?
We talked about this. We'd have to tone our lifestyles down a little bit.
Yeah,
but
mine
we could get by.
Yeah. But
please understand, we're entirely joking.
Yeah. So this guy then, when the 2000 came and it started pulling back, he just kept buying more and more and more and went deep into margin and eventually just got taken out. And when the dust finally settled, his $100 million was $500,000.
Ouch.
Yeah. I mean, how many times are you going to kick yourself with that? I mean, you're going to imagine.
Right, because how many times along the way when you're at 100, when it gets down to $50 million,
right.
do you not say, okay,
let's put $10 million aside for a rainy day.
Right. At least carve a little bit. If not, just say, I can still probably get by on just $50 million. I'm going to call it quits and cash in my chips.
Right. Well, there's another guy that I met. He had been given a bunch of Qualcomm stock and or options. Mm-hmm. Okay. And what he did was, when it came to vested, he exercised all the options, right? Which means at the time you vest, that's when you lock in your basis, right? Mm-hmm. And then, but you have to pay on that from the zero to whatever you lock in. That's your tax basis, right? But he knew Qualcomm was going to go to the moon, so he didn't sell. And he had got $15 million worth of stock. And then, of course, Qualcomm turned around and dumped. And then the IRS knocked on the door and said, hey, you owe us $5 million in tax for that upside capital gain. And by this stage, his portfolio dropped down to like $1 or $2 million, so he couldn't even afford the tax. And you know
they're pretty understanding.
Yeah, understanding the IRS is on that. So the guy's going to have to work for the rest of his life to pay this tax bill back.
Wow.
Yeah, but that's greed because and overconfidence, right?
Well, there's just a plenty San Diegans in general that got caught with the Qualcomm event because it was going up so much, so fast. It was a local company. Everyone was excited about it. They were buying it. And when it started to go down, it was right at the turn of the bubble.
Yeah.
And that caught everyone by surprise that market could drop like that because it had been going up for so long, so fast. And then all of a sudden the emotions kick in again of, well, it's a local company.
Yeah, I know someone.
At a high price. A friend of mine down the street works there.
Yeah,
it's still a great company. And next thing you know, you own this stock at, what was the high? $200 a share.
Yeah.
And now it's trading at $60 or $70 a share.
Still today. I don't know what it is today, but as it...
I think it's moved past its all-time high now.
Because it was split, yeah.
Right. So it has come back, but look at that. That's 14 years?
Yeah.
13 years before it got back to where it was. So if you held on to that, you missed out on opportunity to own something else that had more growth potential.
Yeah. I mean, and don't forget that the professionals out there struggle like crazy. These are guys and women, men and women that have spent their lives studying, learning the market. They're highly intelligent. They've done all the research known to man. They've got teams of analysts researching and providing them updates and reports. And I mean, they can't beat the market.
Right.
There's a couple that can, but it's 99.99% of them can't. And so if you actually think that you've got this edge, I think you need to go to the mirror and just look in there and say, I've just been lucky.
Right.
And I know thousands of people.
Or write out what your edge is. And see,
good luck with that.
See if it really makes sense and see if you even know what that edge might be.
You won't, I'll tell you right now.
Oh, I know that. I'm just throwing an exercise out there. If you think you have the markets figured out, the reality is all these professional managers, for short periods of time, yes, they can do better than the market because they might get lucky and they might have bought Apple when it was in the 30s before it started running all the way to 700 and held on to it the entire time. And sure, you're going to outperform the market in that time. But as soon as Apple started dropping back down, if you still own it, guess what? You're underperforming the market because the market was still going up during that time.
Yep. Amazingly, considering that Apple was such a big chunk of the market.
At that time.
I mean, it had accounted for like 15 or 20% of the total S&P 500 index returns. So when it went down, the theory was the whole index was going to come down, and you're right, it didn't.
Right. Somehow it...
Some obscure names propped the thing up, right?
Yeah. It was able to overcome that.
Yeah, amazingly. But as you say, exactly right. I mean, I go back to when I was trading those stocks back in 99, 2000, and I had, you know, pain by 1,000 cuts and paper cuts. And I remember some of those stocks that I owned that were $200-$300 a share... even today, are still $7-$10 a share.
If they exist.
Yeah.
There's plenty of companies that were trading in the hundreds that gone.
Yeah. It's a Global Crossing. You don't even probably remember that one. And what about the guys down in Houston? Enron's gone.
Enron, WorldCom. I
mean, yeah, and those guys were legitimate companies. They were just fleecing the investors under the scenes, behind the scenes, right?
Yeah,
which scares me back to sort of round this whole discussion out, back to Alibaba. You know, it scares me. I invested in a lot of Chinese stocks, and I'm not saying that these guys are the same, you know, but a lot of the Chinese stocks that I invested in were completely fraudulent. Mm-hmm. Fortunately for me, I actually got on a plane and flew to China once I'd bought a fairly large amount. I'm like, I've got quite a bit in here. I better go and check it out. Went and saw... I mean, I listen to this. So I'm in the car with the CEO, right, of this company, and we're going to go look at his factory, right? He got lost. He didn't know where it was. I mean, what a red flag was that?
So that gave you a little extra confidence that it was a wise investment you had made?
Yeah, exactly right. And I mean, there were these, and it went. I was in five or six of them, and it was the same in each. Not that we got lost everywhere we went, but, I mean, there were all these little flags. Like the one CFO said to me in the car we're in, I said, well, your stock's at 5, you know, what do you think the upside is? And he goes, well, every time it gets around 6, I just sell a whole bunch into the market so we can just get money. So I'm like, okay, you're telling an investor this? I mean, wow, you want to talk about overconfident? Well, I dumped all of them, and thank goodness, I mean, that $5,000 I spent on that little trip to China saved me about $250,000 because four of the 6 ended up being fraudulent and went to 0.
Wow.
So you really got to be careful with stuff you don't understand.
Sounds like the marijuana industry with all the penny stocks that are out there.
Are they all bankrupt
running
now?
Up? Not yet. There's still plenty of time for those.
Yeah.
There's some legit companies out there, but there's a lot of these ones that are just popping up trying to capitalize on an opportunity.
Oh.
And it's just a shell game, basically, where
I know,
it's not a legitimate business. And unfortunately, that could backfire on you.
Well, it's like those SPACs. Do you remember a SPAC?
No.
Special whatever it was. Anyway, basically it was, hey, give us, we're going to raise $100 million and we can't tell you where we're going to invest it because we actually don't know yet. But give us $100 million. And those things were getting funded left and right all over the place back in the 2000s. I'm like, are you guys, have you all lost your minds? I guess so.
Apparently plenty of people have.
Yeah.
But, that just about does it for another edition of our show. We hope you have enjoyed this. I have a feeling we still have quite a bit of information that we wanted to cover, so we will probably continue this next week and get a little deeper into some of the other psychological aspects behind investment decisions that people make and just the psychology of decision-making, really. This has been the Portfolio Doctors. And if you want to reach out to us, you can email either of us, steve@theportfoliodoctors.com or dan@theportfoliodoctors.com. Our podcasts are available on iTunes. Just search for The Portfolio Doctors. We've got a whole collection, a whole catalog of past shows. And we encourage you to go back and listen to some of them. And again, reach out to us with any questions you might have. Thanks again for listening. Enjoy the rest of your day.
You've been listening to The Portfolio Doctors on News Talk AM 1170 KCBQ in San Diego. To schedule a financial health check, go to theportfoliodoctors.com. Or to speak with Dan Osgood, Steve Bick, or any guest on this program, please call 858-764-7250. That's 858-764-7250. Learn more about the show online at theportfoliodoctors.com. Portfolio Doctors are Dan Osgood and Stephen Bick, investment advisor representatives for their respective investment firms, ACAS LLC and Cottingham Management Company LLC. The opinions expressed on the Portfolio Doctors are their own. They do not reflect those of ACAS LLC, Cottingham Management Company LLC, or this radio station. The information you heard is for educational purposes only. No listener should assume that the discussions serve as a substitute for personal advice from ACAS LLC or Cottingham Management Company LLC. Listeners are encouraged to seek advice from a qualified tax, legal, or investment advisor to determine whether any information presented may be suitable for their specific situation. ACAS LLC and Cottingham Management Company LLC are not law or accounting firms, and no portion of this presentation should be interpreted as legal, accounting, or tax advice.
The Portfolio Doctors on KCBQ is sponsored by Mr. Credit San Diego.